Forget not to touch the recorder. Thank you, Lord. It's so awesome, Lord, to know that you're going to take care of business during this fast. We just thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the grace to go through this without any trouble. And Father, we just thank you for taking care of all the things that have come against us, all the spirits that have come against us. And we know that you're going to handle it because you are capable. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that those that can be saved would be saved, Lord, and you grant repentance to them and bring them back into the kingdom, humbled up and ready to go to work, Lord. We praise you for it. Father, we just ask that you anoint us tonight to receive what you have for us, Lord. I know there's going to be all kinds of revelations coming forth tonight and all kinds of doors open for other people. And Father, we just praise you for that. We know people are getting set free because of these revelations. And Father, we just ask that you be with us, direct us, and let us speak only as an oracle of God. And we praise you for what's going to be happening tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for all the prayers that's going to be answered too that have already been answered. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? A testimony. A praise report. A song. A story.
Go Claire's ahead, Claire. Gonna rescue us.
Go ahead, Claire. I saw her. I was ignoring her. Go ahead.
That's okay, Michael.
He's on right now. I've got to go. He's on right now. I'll be back.
Okay.
I have a prayer request for a friend who is going through marital problems. I met her, they were actually at our wedding almost 12 years ago, and they got married 2 weeks after us. We've had kids similar times. She stopped at 2 though. And then when we moved to Queensland, they moved 9 months later and they stayed we found them a rental and they stayed 2 streets down from us. And I think when you're in life like that and you're doing life together, you don't realize that people are sometimes on a different track. You just sort of do the things together. But since moving out of Queensland, we've realized that they, you know, we'd have them over and we'd pray and we'd do those sorts of things, but it was never requited. And once we moved out of Queensland, we realized there were some problems. And anyway, last year she moved out, and she stays like a few blocks away from her daughters and the husband, but she has a relationship with God in that she reads her Bible every day and she does pray. However, he told us once that he liked the look of her when they were teenagers. And so he just did the things that she did. So he just went to church because she went to church, and he just, you know, went to youth group because she went to youth group. So I don't know that he's ever had a salvation experience or, you know, coming to the repentance of himself and, you know, realizing what the gospel is. So I'd like us to pray for him to be met by the Lord and to be changed in an instant, with the Spirit of Christ. And I'd also like to pray for her to come to a spirit of repentance and to believe that it's already been done and to pick up the cross and bear it joyfully and patiently, because it's not good. It's not good for families to be ripped apart by the sinful world. She also knows that it's because they live in a city. They live in Brisbane. She's well aware of what the cities represent. So if we can just stand in faith for her. And Michael, if you could perhaps pray, because I'm not really sure how to pray for this.
Okay. All right. And Lord, we lift up this couple to you. Father, we thank you that you have in the past run across their paths. And in the name of Jesus right now, I break the power of Satan off of both of them in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask and I pray that you send, that the spirit of harvest send somebody there to talk to them about Jesus that they would listen to. And Lord, we thank you that the spirits that have held them back from running after you with all their heart are broken now. And we thank you for granting repentance to them and bringing them in a mighty way, both of them together. And that it would be an experience that they'd never forget. And Father, we just praise you. We send the angels out right now to do your bidding, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you that this couple is already in the makings to come into you in a mighty way. And I thank you, Lord, that it's not going to be very long that Claire's going to hear from them. And they're going to tell her, you won't believe what happened. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for your Holy Spirit that's working in their lives right now. In the name of Jesus, we declare and decree both of them into the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father, for bringing two more into the kingdom in a strong, at a dead run towards you, Lord. At a live run, maybe I should say, towards you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I believe it. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, my. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit's done it, Claire. It's done. It's a done deal. Thank you, Jesus. It don't make any difference what you hear from the outside world. It is done. As I used to say, it don't make no never mind what the people tell you. That's what God said. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my. Anybody else? Yes, Pat.
I'd just like to pray for the husband. Father, we thank you for your strength, your wisdom. I just pray, Lord, that you would open up his eyes to the deterioration of the world and the system around him and grant him grace to seek you, to recognize that the system is crumbling and is destined to fall apart. And that he needs to seek out the true and the living God to preserve his life and his family's life through the process. So Lord, we thank you that you are the spirit of prophecy, that you are able to enliven hearts, you're able to draw and change hearts and motivation of the people before you, Lord, that you grant grace and you grant repentance. You grant just a spirit of repentance. Lord, we trust you and we put our confidence in your ability to change this person's heart. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just take time to bind the spirit of the world that he is seeing. We bind any preconceived notions that he has about you, Lord. We ask that you would shatter those preconceived notions and that you would open his eyes up to the true, the real, and allow him to see the difference in the apostate system that has been created in this world. Lord, just save him, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
I'd like to pray for my daughter's close friend's husband. I guess he's been dealing with cancer now for several months, and he's not doing very well. He's had surgery and chemo and all that, but still things are looking rather grim for them. My daughter's been friends with his wife for 25 years or so. And I don't know whether they're believers or not. And I didn't get into that with my daughter because she's into the new age, so she wouldn't see things the way I see them. So, Father, I just lift up Jeff to you. And I thank you, Father, that you know where he's at. You know that he really is in need of you right now. And I just pray, Father, that you would grant him the grace to repent and to turn to you, that you would just put a great desire in his heart to know you. I really know nothing about him, but I know that you know him. And I thank you that he was healed at the cross. And I pray that he would come to know that and to receive that gift of healing from you. I just pray for his salvation and also for the salvation of his wife. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do for this couple, that you will draw them to yourself and cause them to see their great need for you. I thank you and praise you for what you're going to do for them. And I also lift up my daughter's boss. He's in the hospital now, and he's been there for several days now. They said he doesn't have COVID, but he's really, really weak. He's 80 years old and really has interest in nothing right now, which is not like him. He's a lawyer, so he's always busy, busy, busy. But right now he's in the hospital. He is a believer, from what I understand. Both he and his wife are. Well, Father, I just lift up David to you. And I thank you for his healing. And I just pray for strength for him, and that this would be a time that he and his wife would be drawn to you, that they would repent and look to you for their needs. And not that the medical profession can do anything about it. They really don't know what is causing his extreme weakness, thinking maybe it was a tick bite and it might be Rocky Mountain. Some kind of fever that ticks bring. I'm not sure what, but they're thinking it might be that. But Father, we know that you know what the problem is. We just thank you for his healing and just pray that this would draw he and his wife into a closer relationship with you. We thank you and praise you for what you're going to do in them and for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we pray, Father God, that you would touch his spirit, touch his heart, Lord. Show him that you're there for him. Come against any evil spirits that are trying to hinder him from receiving your life, your light. I come against depression especially. It sounds like depression. And I just pray that whatever it is, that you will deliver him from it. And that he will just be able to be joyous. The joy of you would be his strength in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord. All right. We hook our faith up with Gano, with her daughter's friends. And we thank you, Lord, that this infirmity is what you're using to bring them to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you humble them, that you are doing this, and that they will come to you, Father, both of them. And I thank you, Lord, just as soon as they do, that spirit of cancer goes, the spirit of the fear of cancer goes, and that spirit of death goes, and all the symptoms goes, and they'll know without a doubt in this world that you are a mighty and gracious God. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Look for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? What is that sound? Oh, it was Kathleen. I muted you. All right, anybody else? Got a prayer request, a testimony, or a praise report. Well, I made it through the day. Praise God. We had leftover soup. Praise the Lord. All right.
Michael?
Yes.
I can say we have a praise report because Judy and I, because yesterday morning Judy got really dizzy, you know, and she didn't know what it was from it, and then yesterday evening I got real dizzy. I mean, it was like I was walking around drunk because but there was nothing we couldn't understand why we got that way. And didn't you say that you?
No, I was too.
And she was, and Gaynold was also. What was it the other day?
That was yesterday.
It was yesterday too. We all three of us were kind of off, of dizziness, and I'm wondering it was that 5G, but we came against it, and we have today. I'm fine. I don't know about you guys, but
I'm good.
We're good today. But we were wondering what's that 5G top tower. We came against it. If it was, we said it's got to come down. it's off and on. Not that just a dis, but like feeling kind of tired, worn out.
From what I understand, Trump has made them put some stuff on that 5G to where it won't hurt you anymore. He did that some months back. They can't put any of it up without these particular things in there to keep it from doing that. So it's a spirit. That's what it is. And y'all got rid of it, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Amen.
So it's a praise. Amen. Praise report.
Praise the Lord.
Just unpacking.
Oh. Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
There was a guy that climbed the tower the other day, so you know, that's maybe that, you know, thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Everybody get a chance to read the email. About the fast. I know you did, Judy. Okay, Malcolm. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, a lot of groups are calling for fast right now. Right now I'm on a fast, except it's just water only. And then the 30th of September, some groups are calling for all day, just no water, no food on the 30th. Because, not the 30th, I'm sorry, the Yom Kippur Day of Atonement.
Okay, what's the fast for? Did you get my message?
Yeah, I just looked at it. I just heard you guys talking about a fast, so I thought, wow, I guess you can do them concurrently.
Well, sure.
If you're not eating anything, then it's certainly a liquid-only fast until you stop drinking water, and then I guess you're breaking it.
Yeah.
When you don't drink any water.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, it's going to be a good one. Yeah, Joe. Oh, did you have something, Malcolm? Hang on, Joe. Just a minute.
September 30 is the Lord declared was a very significant, you know, a time to seek the Lord. And then at the end of the month was going to be Yom Kippur is the end of that period, or at least the end of the month. I don't know.
Okay. All right. All right, Joe.
Good morning, everybody. I usually Thursday morning, I had to read my mails at work, but I wasn't at work, so I just listened to a Bible study and then get on the whole day. But last night, I read the mail about a fast and things, so I think to myself, I don't need the confirmation for fasters. I was just waiting for fast and things, so that's fine. And just before I go to bed last night in my quiet time, I opened a Bible on 1 Samuel 21, is where David asked a priest about if he wants some 5 loaves of bread. And the priest just tells him, he only got no common bread, but he only got holy bread. So that's a confirmation for me for no normal bread, but just a word that you have to read, word you have to submit to the Lord. So really interesting for me.
You know, it was kind of interesting. I don't know if you read the email. We had confirmation. We've been looking for them because David and I, we didn't really know, you know, if it was for the whole group or not. And then finally, we had 5 people, I believe, that confirmed it. Yeah, the Lord had them ready to go on a fast also. So that's pretty neat. Pretty neat. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's going to be an awesome time when we get through and during. A manna from heaven. That's right. Yeah, Leah.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about 40 days, though. I was thinking about 1 or 2 or maybe 3 days.
Well, praise the Lord. You get to try it again. Amen. I know what you mean. Oh, I was looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it because I think it's going to be an awesome time with the Lord. Yeah. Amen. That's right. His thoughts are higher than ours. Okay. Who's next? All right. Let me just read you something I got off of famous quotes. This is from Leslie Newbigin. I don't know who that is. It was a preacher, apparently. He said, "We must frankly face the fact that there is in this teaching a revolutionary element which could be dangerously subversive of our existing ways of thought." Now think about that a minute. He's talking about the Christian lifestyle, coming to Christ. A.W. Tozer says, "I am convinced that many evangelicals are not truly and soundly converted. Among the evangelicals, it is entirely possible to come into membership, to ooze in by osmosis, to leak through the cells of the church and never know what it means to be born of the Spirit and washed in the blood." Leonard Ravenhill has said, "With all your getting, get unction." I like that. With all your getting, get unction. George MacDonald says this. He said, "It is simply absurd to say you believe or even want to believe in him if you do not do anything he tells you." So true. H.A. Ironside said, "God is not looking for brilliant men. He's not depending upon eloquent men. He's not shut up to the use of talented men in sending his gospel out in the world. God's looking for broken men who have judged themselves in the light of the cross of Christ. When he wants anything done, he takes up men who have come to the end of themselves, whose confidence is not in themselves, but in God." Amen. Now here's a collection, just a small portion of a collection of Puritan prayers and devotions. And this is what it says. Listen to what it says. "He let me learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is the rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, and that to give is to receive, and that the valley is the place of vision. Amen. And amen. I thought those were pretty neat. Thank you, Lord, for your words from your former people of God. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to comment on before we get into the word? Yes, Pat.
By getting into the word, are we going back into the Trinity?
Yes. Oneness?
Okay.
Yeah, we're going into the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Just as kind of a primer for myself, I've been asking the Lord to show me the truth related to this. The interesting thing is this morning I woke up and it, a couple things kind of hit me, kind of came together. I don't know if it was the last meeting or the meeting before when we were talking about it. And I was asking questions related to, I think, something like, so what is the consequences and the benefits or something of believing or not believing, type thing? Because I didn't sense any particular, need to search out one way or the other. I didn't see the downside or the upside or whatever, however you want to say it. And so I just asked the Lord to open up my eyes and show me what the thing is, you know. And when I was, the first thing I woke up this morning, I just had a couple thoughts. One of them was, and this is based, on what I've already known, but I think Claire mentioned it last meeting. She's been reading the book on Christian history. And, how the Nicolaitan era and some of these things started, you know, way back then, just a short time after Christ, and really created the foundations of the apostate system that is worldwide right now. It started back right after Christ, or, you know, probably before. But the thought came to me as I was thinking about it that when I was questioning us here as to what are the ramifications of believing in the oneness or Trinity, or I have to apologize because I really don't know the depth of what it really is. All that's happening right now is I think God has kind of taken away the blinders. But so when I got to thinking about the historical essence of this whole thing, I started thinking that if the devil was a smart devil, intelligent, and was fulfilling the purpose that he was created for, to thwart God's work and to the point of murder if he has to do so, that what would be the best way of accomplishing that? What would be one of the fundamental things that he'd want to do? And one of those things that he, I believe, would want to do is to create a deception that was so subtle that you would have a hard time understanding whether it was good or bad or evil. You would have a hard time discerning one way or the other, if it's a big deal or not, so to speak. Kind of an example, back when I first became a Christian and I had joined the Baptist church, and that was back in the days when there was, you know, a lot of, conflict or controversy about the pre-tribulation rapture and post-tribulation rapture. And of course, if you cut out part of the scriptures, you can look at one set of scriptures, and it's very supportive of a post-tribulation rapture. And if you ignore some of those scriptures and take other scriptures, a pre-tribulation, so it can be very, you know, confusing, you know, in that process. Well, I remember at the time not really believing either one. But not really, and this is probably my fault, but not really, I was having fun with the Lord in other places. I knew this was an issue. So what I did is I chose to believe the post-tribulation rapture concept, and that if I got raptured out, if I got to that day and got raptured out beforehand, then I would just have extra, you know, learning, extra love, grace, whatever, development, growth in my life, etc. However, if I chose the other way of pre-tribulation rapture and I was wrong and I had to go through that tribulation, then I would be going through that process in a very limited, with limited resources, spiritual resources, shall we say. And it wasn't until later, actually until I joined UVM, that whole process became very clear. But the point being is I could clearly see positive and negative effects for both of them, and I clearly made it my choice. But some of the finer aspects of this Trinity, you know, three in one, and whatever the whole concept is not real clear as to if you believe this, you're going to go to hell, or if you believe this, you're going to suffer some sort of consequence. So that's what makes it so powerfully devastating that the devil created that, because I'm starting to see what the ramifications of that. One of the things that I realized today was that with a proper view of Christ's relationship, Jesus' relationship to the Father, and our relationships to Jesus and the Father, it clarifies that a little bit, and it allows us to get a clearer view of who we were created to be by the Father. I believe it allows us to get a clearer perspective that we were created as sons of God, brother and sister of the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Alpha and Omega. It just, to me, and so it kind of clarifies are who we are, what God has created when he created us. And so it allows me just to kind of crispen up that, crispen? Is crispen a word? I guess it is now. I just made it one. So you have a clearer perspective of who you are and therefore what your responsibility is before God. So I'm just on the entering side of the clarification right now. I'm not on the backside. I just kind of wanted to give a bit of a testimony and praise to the Lord that that he certainly answers prayer. And I guess just the point of how potentially devastating this thing has been, because it certainly is at the foundation of the very apostate system that we find ourselves in the world today. It's absolutely essential that the people that are sitting in the pews, depending upon this Nicolaitan individual in the pulpit to feed them their day, you know, their weekly stipend of God's word, and then they decide whether or not they're going to do it or not, because they're not really responsible to do it. All of this, I think, is based upon that subtle lie in some form or another. So, again, I won't go any farther. I'll just be rambling. But anyway, I just wanted to give testimony to the Lord that he is opening up my eyes to this situation. So praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. David, you ought to read that, whatever it is that you got up there.
Yeah, I put that, copied it and pasted it from the transcript. It's from the bottom of 10 on the beginning of page 11 of One is Trinity and Truth. It says, if you understand what I've said so far, David's saying this, first of all, there is nothing in the Bible that says Trinity. There is the Father, there is the Son, and there are all the sons. You see, God is growing, and the part of you that is born from above is going to go back there. You know, the Bible says in John 3:13 that no one has ascended into heaven but the he that descended out of heaven. What does that mean? It means that only Jesus is going to heaven. You understand? Jesus came out of heaven. He was the Word. He was a manna that came down out of heaven, who gives life to the world. He came out of heaven, and he's going back. But when he goes back, he's going corporately. He's much bigger now than he was, you see. So that kind of wraps up what it follows up with Pat and everybody's thinking now. It brings the understanding of us all coming in the image of Jesus, and we all become sons of God, and that's what goes up back into heaven. It's only Jesus. So that's the importance of understanding that relationship that Pat's talking about, is it's no longer we live, but Christ living in us. And that new life of Christ is what brings us into heaven. But that can't happen unless we understand that we have to lose our life here to gain our new life in Christ. And by doing that, we become these sons of God, this Word made flesh. It recreates in us the same thing that was in Jesus. That's why the Trinity doctrine robs people of that. It does not give them that full understanding of what it is God's doing with this whole relationship, like we're talking about, with the Father and the Son and the rest of his sons, and how that all works out, and how we too can become sons of God.
Amen. All right. Now, let's take up the subject of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Jesus. What is the function of the Spirit of Jesus? And I want scripture. Anybody got that? Go, Claire. I know somebody'd have it. Oh, I thought she had your hand up. No, was you waving at one of the boys? You waving at Daniel?
I was saluting you. I was saying, yes, brother.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Let's look at some scriptures. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
I was going to mention the one, I think it's in Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. That's a good one. Anybody else got one? I got one. I got one. Let's start out with Galatians 4 and 6. And because ye are sons, now listen to this, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. 1 Peter 1:11. Seeing what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did point unto when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them. Okay? What manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, God's people. Romans 8, 9, oh, and 10.
That was First Peter what?
1:11. It's a different version.
Okay, that's fine.
Romans 8, 9, and 10. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now listen to this. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He's none of God's. Go ahead, Julie. I'm going to stop and let you go ahead, girl. You got to unmute.
I'm sorry. I forgot that part.
That's prerequisite.
Yeah, it helps a lot. I didn't want to pull a Michael.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. 1 Peter 1:11. I'll start in 3. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, ye have been put to grief in manifold trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom not having seen you love, on whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice greatly with unspeakable joy and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did point unto, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them, to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto you did they minister these things which now have been announced unto you through them that preach the gospel unto you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. Well, I just, that's such a big revelation of Christ was in the prophets before time, you know, preaching and prophesying of his coming. And, you know, it's the spirit of Christ that was in them. It was the spirit of Christ that's in us, to all who believe. You know, it's the word, the seed and the sower parable. The parable, you know, the sower sowed the word of God, and it's planted in our hearts, and it, you know, we don't stay children, we grow up. And, but yes, it starts with the spirit of Christ and being born again. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good one. All right. Anyone else? I want to run something by you here. You know, Christ is the mediator between us and God. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God, one mediator, also between God and man, himself man, Christ Jesus." And the reason that Christ is qualified to be the mediator is because he's both God and man, right? He was man. He was God in the flesh. Jesus, as you probably all of you already know after listening to David, is the ladder in Jacob's dream, right? He's the mediator between heaven and earth. Remember, he said that the angels, he saw the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. In Genesis 28:12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And then we go into the New Testament in John chapter 1, verse 51. Am I going too fast here? In verse 51. "And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall see the heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God." And that, you know, Jesus became a living spirit, 1 Corinthians 15:45. "So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." And that life-giving spirit, the Lord sowed into our hearts when he went on the cross and left us with that spirit as the spirit of salvation into our hearts, right? So he's there. And then if you don't have the spirit of Christ, somebody had that already up in the chat there. I believe it was Claire or Rhea. But you're not in the flesh, da 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 da. I can't find it now. Anyway, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you can't get the Holy Spirit, can you? Because you're not you're not saved. And the Holy Spirit's not going to come into a sinful spirit. So when we get the Spirit of Christ, then we have available to us the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit from God the Father, which is the power. He calls himself the power from on high to overcome the world and ourself in the flesh, of course. And that's the way I see it through all the scriptures that we've looked at over the years. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, He told them that except you be born anew, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? But Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Verse 5 is, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit. I know Paula mentioned that last week too, about in 1 John chapter 5, about the water, the Spirit, and the Word. These three agree. Well, the water is the Word. The Spirit's the Holy Spirit, but it's also the Spirit. It's the new Spirit of Christ in you.
I mean.
Anyhow, you don't know. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It just happens. It happens supernaturally. It happens without being seen. But God changes you. Praise the Lord.
Okay. And also to dispel some of the Trinity stuff, David, over on page 7, David talks about Proverbs 8, and he says, is another place where actually wisdom speaks, and wisdom tells us the exact same thing we just saw. That is, that he and the Father were here. In Proverbs 8:22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Now, when was the word come forth? In the beginning was the Word. You know, the Bible doesn't claim the word Jesus Christ anything further back than the beginning. He said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Proverbs 8:23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. That's the beginning of time. Now, he existed at the start of time, from the start of time. He was the firstborn of time. Now, he will exist from now to eternity. The beginning, David says, the beginning starts where eternity leaves off. Time starts where eternity leaves off. Now, he says, I'm not saying that eternity didn't continue on, but there comes a place in eternity where God started time. And that's what we call the beginning. God the Father always existed in eternity, but the Son did not. The Son had a beginning. So if the Son, Jesus, had a beginning, how could they be co-eternal? And what's the other one, gosh?
Co-eternal, coexistent, and...
Yeah, what's the last one?
You don't make a very good Trinitarian, Michael.
I know it, Dave, I know it. Co-equal, co-eternal, co-equal. And coexistent. Co-equal. So that doesn't make them equal, does it? Because he is the Son of God. I'm going to put that right in front of me so I don't forget it. So the Trinitarians, they believe that they are co-equal, coexistence, and co-eternal. So we've just proved by these just a few scriptures. The whole Bible is full of scriptures that come against that Trinitarian thought that they are co-eternal, co-existent, and co-equal. They can't be. If God the Father, and Jesus said this himself, he said, God the Father is greater than I am. If he's greater than I am, then he's not co-equal, is he? So that kind of throws that out the window in that regard. So is the Holy Spirit a person? Now, let's get on to that for a little bit. Anybody want to tackle that one? How many people have you heard of that died and went to heaven ever saw three thrones up there? How many people that you have heard of on YouTube have died and went to heaven and saw the person of the Holy Spirit? Zero. Unless Judy's got somebody here, she saw the Holy Spirit.
Michael, on Luke 3:22 says, "And the Holy Spirit descended upon him, Jesus, in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved son,'" that was the Father's beloved son, "and you I am well pleased."
Yeah. Like
a dove. So he had a bodily form, but it wasn't a human.
No, it wasn't a bodily form. It was like one. It was a spirit. Like one, what is that?
I think it was done for other people's benefit to see it happen.
Yeah.
You know, if we see that, it's for our benefit.
Mm-hmm. David put that in there, and he went over that. Yeah, Claire.
If we think of the spiritual realm, when we see angels, we know that they maybe have a body, but they don't have it's not the same human body. It looks different. The shape that they take looks different. And for anyone who's seen demons, I know I've seen many demons, they take the form of things of your imagination. You can see them. You can see them flee, or you can see them on people, but you wouldn't call that human. You wouldn't call it. Why then would we put a limit on the Holy Spirit? Why would we say it has to be a person when it's the word says spirit? Like, if the word says spirit, then why would we reinterpret that to be a whole separate person? It's just like, it doesn't make any sense.
What you read with the same, but in the ASV, it says it descended in a bodily form. Was that added in there? Like, what is it supposed to say?
What was the scripture reference?
It's Luke 3, verse 22.
Well, it wasn't the Holy Spirit's body. It was a bodily form. Let's see. Let me look here, see what the numeric says.
The dove was like a symbol, right? I mean, it just represented a symbol of peace and
symbolic of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because that's not, we chatted about it yesterday, so correct me if we're wrong, but that's not when Jesus received the Holy Spirit. He was when he was born again, which was when he was born of Mary. He was born of God's Spirit then already. He already had the Holy Spirit. No? Yes? No?
Did what?
Oh, he actually received the Holy Spirit then.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
He was born of the Holy Spirit. How that was happens is the power of God came upon Mary, and it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus' spirit was born in Mary then with the body form, with the body from Mary. That was Jesus. The Holy Spirit, he received it just like we did on earth.
As a type, then, Jesus was, he was born again when he was born of Mary. So he basically was, after he was born again, he went 30 odd years before he got baptized and then received the Holy Spirit. Is that right?
Yes. You know, he fulfilled prophecy. He did everything right the way that we're supposed to do it.
So then it's so easy for us to just follow him. I mean, like, if you want to have what he has, then you do what he did. Like, isn't it just...
Yeah.
Except don't wait 30 years.
Maybe wait, maybe get it done when you're...
You got to go find a guy named John. And then...
And a dove.
And a dove and John in a camel's coat.
Yeah, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit on Jesus then was, he had to go into the wilderness and be tried, you know, tempted of the devil, before he had to overcome that before he could start his ministry. So that was all happened before he started his ministry, and he had to do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that's what the baptism was about. You couldn't, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we can't overcome in our trials. But he didn't do anything until after he had been tried in the desert and baptized in the Holy Spirit and tried in the wilderness, and then he started his ministry.
Amen. And he did have a beginning.
And Michael, you know, even in Acts, when they were waiting for the power of to be endued with power from on high, that was from the Holy Spirit, and it was like tongues of fire. So it wasn't a bodily form, but it was the tongues of fire where they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It says in the all throughout the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is El. That's the Father. That's the Father. Yeah, bye.
If you look at some of the other writings that Paul has done and others, it always talks about, like, if I just go to Galatians, I click on the first chapter, 1:1, Paul, an apostle. And it says, not from men, neither through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. If we go to Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through God's will, to the saints of Ephesus and the faithful Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If we go to Philippians, he does the same introduction. Philippians 1:2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Thessalonians. He did, or well, let's see what Peter does. Peter, first chapter. He'll say Peter 1:1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the elect soldiers of the dispersion in Pontusia, Galatia. Then he goes to 1:2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience of the sprinkling of Jesus Christ's blood. They define everything right there. They're always going to God the Father. They're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they also, Peter mentions in the sanctification of the Spirit, he's mentioning the Holy Spirit. You'll see these words and don't ignore them. That's how they're telling you up front. There's God the Father. There's Jesus Christ our Lord. And if they mention the Holy Spirit, it's mentioned, but it's not mentioned like the Jesus and the Father are. It just brings the Holy Spirit in there, like the communion of the Spirit, the sanctification. It's magnifying the Spirit that way, his purpose, his job. You can go all the way through the Gospels. Let's go to 1 John, I'm curious.
He's never mentioned as the Lord, the Spirit. The Lord, the Spirit, yeah, either.
The Holy Spirit? No, he's brought in as a what the Spirit does, his function, what the purpose of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God is doing, you know. But at the same time, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Let's be mindful that we're talking about God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is probably a lot more able to do things than we can with our spirit. A little more multifunctional, multitasking, that's part of God, who God is. I mean, so the Holy Spirit can be acting like it's doing things independent of God, but that's God. That's God being able to magnify who he does without being limited. There's no limitations of what God can do. So God can have a body someplace, wherever he wants to be, and still have his functioning spirit doing everything else for him as an ambassador and fully be God, but it's his spirit. That's something we have to understand in our minds, for how the magnification of how this Holy Spirit works It's the Spirit of God, but it doesn't limit him to be less than God either, because he's the Spirit of God. He's still performing the works of the Lord of God. But God doesn't necessarily have to be there in his bodily form doing it. He's got his Spirit doing these things. We have to understand that multidimensional ability of God. He doesn't, he's not, this we can't put any kind of understanding and limitations on what his abilities are. Like we said, if we saw the Holy Spirit, that's all we would see. That tells you how expansive God is, because he brought us into his environment, right? His environment was limitless. So he's not limitless still. He, wherever he's at, he's not limitless. We just have a hard time understanding how somebody can be this far away but still right up close to us and still be fully God, but it's his Spirit. It's his Spirit. His Spirit can be wherever he wants it to be. And it is everywhere he wants it to be, because this is his environment. He created this. So we get that idea. We came into his environment. He didn't come into ours. He created an environment for us to be in his domain. So we start understanding that we're in his domain. No matter where we're at, we're always in his domain. Even in hell, God is there.
Dave, if I may add, it says in John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever."
Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So I just wanted to, that was an exhortation. It's just kind of trying to understand God a little better, but it doesn't, you know, so.
That was very good, Dave. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. I think the question is still, what we're talking about today is God's Spirit, and then there's Christ's Spirit. And if Jesus only received the Holy Spirit the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it makes sense that God would have to use a bodily form like a dove, something like whatever that was, to symbolize that he's received it, because he can't show us the Holy Spirit, because then we won't see anything else, right? So that makes sense that he would use that to go, here's a symbol of, yeah, he's received the Holy Spirit. And we get taught a lot about the power of the Holy Spirit, of God's Spirit, right? The power of the Spirit and the work that he does. But I think because of what the Trinity doctrine has done is we don't get taught that much about the Spirit of Christ. And what is the power and what do you get when you get the Spirit of Christ? And if he had this, if Jesus had, he obviously had his own Spirit from birth until from being born again until he received the Holy Spirit, the power of Christ's Spirit when you get born again and then you get Christ's Spirit, if you think of it that way, is to be able to live a sinless life and live a life in faith. And that is what Jesus showed us. It's not until you receive the anointing later to get the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think that's my question is still, so what power or what do you get when you receive the Spirit of Christ then before you receive the Holy Spirit? Because he went that whole period, not basically having the Holy Spirit, but having the Spirit of Christ, right? Does it make sense?
You can't come to God unless you have the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
Imagine that. That's a cutoff right there.
Actually, you're lost before that, right? We know you're lost before you have the Spirit of Christ.
If you were saved from the foundation of the world, that you were the elect, there's never a point where you weren't saved. But a person that never has the Spirit of Christ can never come to the Lord, can never be part of his kingdom. He's always going to be cast off.
What he's asking is, what function does the Spirit of Christ have?
That's it right there. First, you have to have that before anything else.
Okay, what does that do for me?
Brings you into the kingdom of God.
Okay. What does it do for me? As a sinful man, that God has drawn to him Right. And granted me repentance. What it does, it gives you a sinless spirit.
Ah.
Christ was a sinless, had a sinless spirit. To keep and to grow that sinless spirit is when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the power of the Father inside of you now to accomplish what Jesus did.
Michael?
Yes.
I just thought about something that was that and the scriptures. There's one scripture, Luke 12:12, that says, now this relates to the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit shall teach you in that very hour what you must say. And what crossed my mind was Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. How is the Father telling him what to do? Through the Holy Spirit. Because where the Holy Spirit teaches, there's other scriptures that says the Holy Spirit, I can't remember if it's in 1 John or something, there's Holy Spirit teach. They will not have any need of anybody teaching them because the Holy Spirit will teach them. He's our counselor. He's our helper. So it's got to be the Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Julie, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
I put it back down. I had it up. I was going to, I guess I was going to, in your own time, but the book of Revelation, the first chapter, is all about the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is. And the Lord showed me that the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation is really about his body, the body of Christ. It's about his, the believers. You know, it's about Jesus too, don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's Christ in us, and it's the body of Christ, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ in his church, in his people, and it's all about, you know, we bear witness of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's all I was going to say. But I posted a scripture there. I was thinking this verse in John 1:12, that as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God. And I was remembering David saying that in other translations, or maybe it's in numerics, that is the power to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So it's something God does in us when we believe.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
There is one more thing I was going to bring up that David brought this up, which was very good. In Colossians 1:15, it says, it talks about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. I think if I look up that word image, it's going to be a charagma or something like that. It's a likeness, icon. That icon, says, is in the same idea as having a manual typewriter, the old manual typewriters with the paper in there, and you hit that key and it had an icon on that, that key would come out from the typewriter itself and had an icon on it, it would strike that paper. When it striked it, it put that imprint on that paper. All right, that's what that image is. That image is what imprints on us, is Christ's image. Without that, we're not in Christ. We don't have that image of Christ. That's what we need that image of Christ for. It strikes that image. It puts us in the image of God. It gets us in the Son, gets us in the family, you know, because that's what God's looking for, that Christ. But it doesn't mean we have the fullness of Christ. It means we have the image of Christ. Now we're going to have to put and get to the rest of stuff with the rest of the word then that's going to make us into the image of Christ, the fullness of Christ. So it is a developed process. It's a process at this point too. It's not a one-time shot. We got to keep on moving forward in this.
Amen. Go ahead, Topeka.
I just want to add, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So here it says about God the Father and the Spirit. And I believe here it's talking about the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mention about Jesus here, but then the Spirit of God. So that should be Holy Spirit, isn't it?
The Holy Spirit working through Jesus. If you go back into the New Testament, and it's in 1 John, I believe.
Yeah.
Let me look and see.
Yeah, 1 John.
John 1:1,
yeah. And
Plus, see if it talks about God as being Elohim there instead of El.
Sorry, Dave?
In Genesis, it talks about the Spirit of God. See if God is, if you look up the word God in Hebrew, see if it's Elohim or El.
I believe in there, David talks about it being Elohim, which is a plural. The plural Godhead, or I don't say Godhead. No, I didn't say that. Did I say that? Oh, yeah, my goodness, fine. I didn't say that. Okay.
But that when we go there, we're kind of thinking, whenever it talks about Elohim, it could be the Father and Jesus together. Because it's Jesus came from God. They were first born. Jesus was first born in heaven. And what is begot of God is God. So if they're both together, it's both God.
Well, that's Pat, you got it up there, but it's all in a different language. I don't understand.
Michael, if we remember Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So it could have been Jesus with God there.
Well, it was Jesus. In the New Testament, it tells us that Jesus was the creator of all things, you know. But God was working through Jesus.
Yeah. So it's let okay. Us.
Yeah. So okay, plural. Son. I want you to put a galaxy out there. You know. Can y'all imagine what was going on back then? My gracious, it just expands everything in your mind.
Boggles my mind.
Yeah, really. I'll tell you. Yes, Julie.
Did you ever hear that testimony of Henry Gruber when he was talking about when he was a little boy and he asked God that one day he wanted to see how he made the planets and the you know thing? And God actually showed him when he died.
He took him out
and he showed, he was seeing the creation of all the planets and stuff. I'm like, oh God, that was so cool that he answered this little boy's prayer to see how he made everything. I was like, that just blew me away. He's so cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that he would do that. And then, you know, that he reminded him that he prayed that. Kind of neat.
Yeah, that was neat. So, Jesus was the he was the hands that created what God wanted. And God spoke it through him.
God was the architect. Jesus was the contractor.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
He was the Pat of the creation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of like Pat. Pat was the supervisor, then he had all these subcontractors underneath him, and Jesus was the first and only.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pat. You got a serious look on your face, buddy.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, I think I was born with that. But so what I'm looking at here, I'd understand what we're talking about as far as the Holy Spirit not being a person, but being God, being part of, being the Spirit of God. However, I'm looking here in scriptures, and one was already mentioned before, and it's Jesus talking about the Spirit. And he said, if you, in John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. Yet ye know him, for he abideth with you, and shall be in you. And so Jesus is referring to this Spirit of God, but it almost appears as though he's speaking as another entity, shall we say. Well, he is speaking as another entity. But so let me just go on to 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. So Jesus sends the Holy Spirit from the Father, or he sends God's Spirit from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. And I'm picking these verses because it's Jesus speaking of the Spirit as a he, or, you know, as a entity, as a person, or however you want to put it. There's that inference, I guess. And ye also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And then when you go to John 16:3, tells about the role of the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him unto you. When he is come, will convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and ye behold me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Howbeit, and in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and declare it unto you. All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, he taketh of mine and shall declare it unto you. And these words to me tend to create a separate from the Father. When he's, and this is, you know, how I'm seeing these words. So how do you explain that those words, which are being spoken from by Jesus about he, the Spirit of truth, I'm assuming that these are all saying He, the Spirit of Truth, which is the Father. Am I making sense in my question? Because it seems like there's a differentiation there, or a separation there. So, right?
Okay. Go ahead, Leon.
I don't think there's a differentiation there. Jesus says he's coming from the Father. It's not a separate person. It's still the Spirit of God. He's coming from the Father. You read it just a second ago. And it doesn't make a differentiation. It just says that here's what he'll do. But this is what the Spirit of God will do. He's coming from the Father. And he'll not talk about himself. He won't glorify himself. He'll glorify me. If it was a third entity, he might be glorifying himself then.
Well, when I'm asked, so in that verse 15, it says all things, in 14, he says, he shall glorify me, which I'm assuming, which is the Holy Spirit. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. So he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify by taking everything of Jesus, which is everything of the Father, and reveal it unto you. Am I missing that?
No. What was your question? Because the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus. That's what he's supposed to do. He's the Spirit of the Father.
I don't know specifically what my question is because there's a lack of clarity there. So, again, that's why I'm asking the Lord.
It's in red on mine, so that's Jesus talking, right?
Correct.
Okay, he says, he shall glorify me. Who's me? It's in red. That's Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to glorify Jesus. For he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. Jesus, the sinless life. Okay. That's what he's referring to, I suppose. All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine, because he got it all from the Father. Therefore said I that he taketh of mine and shall declare it unto you. Go ahead, Dave. I saw your hand up.
Andrew's got his hand up too, but I just was going to point out. Yeah, I was going to point out Matthew 10:20.
Okay.
If you go there, and I posted it in the chat, is for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. There's no other reference to the Spirit of the Father anywhere else that would say there's a Spirit of the Father and then there's also a Holy Spirit. It doesn't separate them.
Well, Jerry's got one down in the Spirit of Truth and only speaks what he hears from the Father. Is that the same one?
So this Spirit is, everything is connected to the Father of God.
Yeah.
It's Holy Spirit. It has not separate entity at all.
There's one, John 4.
Hang on. let me get Andrew. He's been sitting up there for a while with his hand up. Go ahead, Andrew.
Usually when he speaks things in the Gospels, there has to be a backup for it in the church age. And I think there's something here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. And it says there, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And that's the treasure of the life of Christ in you. That the exceeding greatness of the power be of God. And this power is his Holy Spirit to live this life in our earthen vessel, which is the treasure of Christ in us. That the power be of God and not from us. And then it goes and it describes a lot of stuff that we go through. We are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not over perplexed, pursued, yet not left behind, smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus be manifested in our body. And of course, that's the power to live that life from God through the Holy Spirit. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus. For Jesus, this treasure in our earthen vessel. And that the life also of Jesus be manifested in our mortal flesh.
Amen.
So that death worketh in us, but life in you. And, well, that's what I think is what we go through. And that Holy Spirit has to come and help us live the life of Christ. We're given the life of Christ, we're birthed, and then the Holy Spirit has to come to help us live that life and manifest through us. We don't cast out demons without the power of God. The Holy Spirit function. The thing is really cool is it's omnipresent. So how come, you know, like we seem to have a lot of problems getting access to something that's just so close and near to us? It's just kind of weird, don't you think?
But if the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, how can he have a bodily form?
That's a big body.
That's a big one, Andrew.
Yeah. Just like them fishes.
Okay.
All right. How they say big one down in the south. It's a big one.
It's a big one. It's a big one. Amen. Okay, Sue, go ahead.
Yeah, John 4:24 says God is capital S, spirit. God is spirit, and who worship him, this is Jesus, he's talking to a woman, and who worship him must worship in spirit, little s. I'm reading out of the numerics. And truth. You must worship in spirit and in truth. But it says God is capital S, spirit.
But he has a bodily form and a soul. The Father does.
Mm-hmm. He can put any, he can make himself look like anything.
Well, the word says, he said he had a soul. He said he had a body.
Yeah.
Who was that that had the hand up in? Somebody had the hand. Yo, Marilyn, go ahead.
Well, and maybe I'm just kind of oversimplifying this, but this
That's
was
good. I like oversimplifying.
A real revelation to me some time back, John 14:23. John answered and said unto him, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And it's just like one day, I've read that so many times, but one day the light switch just came on for me that, well, how does the Father and Jesus, you know, they make their abode in us. You know, I always knew, you know, I had a born-again spirit of Christ. But the way the Father makes his abode in me is through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Paul tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Father's just been talking to me a lot the last few months about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's just so vast. You know, he is the Spirit of truth. He brings everything to our remembrance. He convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. You know, he helps me repent. He enlightens the eyes of my understanding. He strengthens me in the inner man. He grants unto me the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He helps me and he comforts me. And I just know for me, it's really made me just appreciate the Holy Spirit a lot more. So that's all.
Yeah. Topeka, you've got Matthew 28:19 up there. And I'm glad you brought that up. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Actually, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son is what the scripture should say. King James is the only version that changes that, and it's not correct. The early manuscripts and also the numerics say into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which means nature, character, and authority of the God the Father and Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
You go right ahead.
Where do I check that? Like, because I have KJV.
Yeah. Do you have a numerics New Testament?
No.
Okay. You can get it online. Do you even know about the numerics?
No. I'm learning it for the first time, yeah.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Well, the numerics was, I don't have time to explain what it is in a simple form. It was, the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek, as you know. And the Hebrew and Greek language uses their letters and their numbers simultaneously, like A would equal 1, B equals 2, so on and so forth. A Russian immigrant, Ivan Panin, and I'm just going to give you the short version of it, found out years and years ago, he was a Harvard professor of Hebrew and Greek and some other things. I don't remember what all it was. But anyway, he found out, somebody told him to read the Bible. And he found out just in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that there was a numeric pattern in the alphabet, in the Hebrew. And he studied the Bible, just to give you the short version, 50 years in that respect with the numbers. And he found out what the right pattern was and made a Bible, the most correct Bible on the market today. Now he's dead and been dead for quite some time. What's the smart guy's name? Mentor.
Albert Einstein.
Yeah, thank you, Barry. Albert Einstein. Yeah. He was his mentor. He was his professor. He taught him everything he knew. So he was very smart. But anyway, that's what the numeric Bible is. It's in English. Yes, Dave.
Thank you.
Plus, I think we have to understand what it means by in the name. It's referring to the nature, character, and authority of God.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the numerics is also in chapter 2 of Sovereign God in His Through Us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You could go on the website and get it in PDF form if you'd like. I don't know who's first.
Just quickly, I posted a link to the numeric thing, the description. Oh, Michael okay. just kind of summarized there. I posted a link to the website. It's just it'll help explain
you
that.
You can get
better
that.
Than Michael did. He did all right.
You can go to the ancient manuscripts also, if you've got some of those laying around, and check on it, because that's what it says in too. Go ahead, Claire.
I just have a question. I don't know what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I don't want to, but I don't know what it means. What does it mean?
Don't do it. Don't do it. Well, to blaspheme, you remember what Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they said that the Holy Spirit, workings of the Holy Spirit are of Beelzebub. They were blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
So they were speaking against it and saying it was of the devil. So is that when people say, if I see demons, I'm of the devil, or if someone gets dreams, they're of the devil? They're speaking against the working of the Holy Spirit. Is that?
No. Here's a prime example. If you go out there and you pray for somebody and God heals them, and they say, well, she's of the devil. That's of the devil. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
And there's no recompense for that.
If they knew what they were doing, no.
Whoa. That's hectic.
Yeah.
Same goes with speaking in tongues. If you're speaking in tongues and somebody says that's of Satan, that's of the devil, they're speaking against the Holy Spirit.
They're speaking against the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Judy.
I was just thinking what came to me is Jesus told the Pharisees and the scribes, he's like, if I have not come to them and showed them these things and told them of these things, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and they have heard and they, trying to find that scripture, you know what I'm talking about? They've both seen it and heard. And so you're accountable when you do those kind of things and you still say it's of the devil, that's blasphemy.
Yeah.
No excuse for their sin. That's how.
That's a quick ticket to hell.
And people say stuff like that. Why blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Do they really have a full understanding? God knows your heart if people are truly blaspheming the Holy Spirit or if they're just an ignorance thing. I spoke against the Holy Spirit. Oh no, but they didn't. It's God knows what's here and what they know and understand.
Amen. Go ahead, Claire. I'll get right to you, Leon. She had her hand up first.
I also just want to check, and by no means do I want to nitpick, but I do want to understand it so that I can, we're talking all about this now, and we're talking about if the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Christ in us, and our job is to bear the fruit of Christ, then when we worship, we are to worship the one true Father God as Jesus did when he taught us how to pray. So when we're worshiping and worshiping is to make obeisance. So to, lie prostrate, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, you're doing it in the name of Jesus. So the nature, character and authority of Jesus unto Father God. So yes. This is just because maybe I'm from South Africa and we speak differently there, but do you go around, do you praise Jesus? Like, I don't know how to say that without sounding like, can you praise Jesus? Or can you say praise Jesus? Or do you say praise God because I don't really want to be saying the wrong thing. Every word is going to be accounted. And I know that it's only imputed as sin when we know, but I do want to know so that I don't do the wrong thing.
Okay. Anybody want to tackle that? You can praise Jesus. You can praise the Lord, but you pray to the Lord, to the Father, and you can glorify Jesus because, just cause. But yes, you can praise God, you can praise Jesus, but when you pray, he says to pray in the name of Jesus, in the character, authority, and the nature of Jesus. You're standing in stead for him in Jesus' name. I'm standing in the stead of, you're an ambassador of Christ, the word says. And as an ambassador, you know what an ambassador does? He stands instead for that government that he's there for. That's what we do. We stand instead of Christ. Yeah, Julie.
I think if you look at it as like when you say praise God, you know, Jesus is God. The Father is God. And we are praising God. I mean, glory to God. Who's glory? Who's God? We want to glorify Jesus. And Jesus said, you know, that he would we want to glorify our Father and in heaven, who is in heaven. And how do we do that? We obey him. We love him. We worship him. We praise him. You know, it says, praise God. He's God. They're both God. So,
amen.
And I praise Jesus. I say praise Jesus all the time because I know the devil hates it. I'm always praising Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You just don't, you don't praise the Holy Spirit.
I don't.
No, it's because that's God. You're praising the Father. You're thanking the Lord, praising Jesus.
David mentions that book that Benny Hinn wrote years ago, something about the Holy Spirit. I remember it. But he said that was just a completely wrong, because the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and the Father.
Yeah, it wasn't done anywhere in the scriptures.
Mm-mm, no. Nowhere. Okay.
It's kind of pointless because he just deflects to Jesus anyway.
Yes. Yes, he does. That's good. Thank you, Greg. All right. Anyone else? Boy, I am so glad we solved everybody's problems here tonight. Yeah, Lana or Theo?
Hey, I just wanted to ask for some prayer for my dad. Message saying that my dad chews. So I just wanted to ask you guys to agree with me that he is named, that he is healed as promised to us in the Word of God. I know the Lord's healed him of cancer in the past. It was a very very short and very private thing for him that we didn't find out about until later. So that tells me he believes in healing, though we've never really been taught this in my family nor in church. So once again, just asking that you guys believe with me that the Lord has heard my family's request and that I believe that my father is healed.
Amen. We do. We believe. We hook our faith up with yours, and we believe that her dad is healed, delivered and set free by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Lana's dad.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. Your angels are round about him now, ministering to him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Dave.
I just want to say there are examples in the scriptures of people being healed and praising Jesus and bowing down to him and giving him praise. And he didn't say, no, don't do that. Not like Paul, you know, he didn't say that. He allowed that to happen. So the worship Jesus was allowed. So the worship Jesus, worship the Father. It's okay. It's really good to worship both together, really. You know, it's rather just keep separate. That's not.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I hope and I pray that these discussions we've had on the Holy Spirit and Jesus' Spirit and the oneness in the Trinity has helped everybody. I know doing this study that it has helped me understand it a lot better. Praise the Lord. And I hope it has y'all.
Yes, thank you very much, Michael. It's been
so much.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you for that.
So good.
Couldn't get anybody else to do. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it helped me. It helped me a lot. Okay, what's the next subject? Is that plenty enough for all of us? Or do you want to carry on some more with this? Or do we even need to?
Well, it's not enough for me, but I'm not going to hold the group back.
Pat, did you read the thing that I sent you?
The email?
Yeah.
No, I just now got it.
No, I'm talking about the oneness trinity and the truth.
You mean the book that you sent me?
Yeah, the article that I sent you on the oneness trinity and the truth. Did you get it?
I got the book that you sent, the attachment that you sent of the book, which is the
Yeah.
Have
you read that?
I'm reading it.
Okay. All right.
I'm reading it and listening to the message at the same time. That type of thing. But I'm not through it yet. I'm only
When you get through with it, you'll have a lot better understanding. You know, you will. Guarantee it, brother. Yeah, Claire.
Looking for.
I have a praise report. I forgot, but I just remembered. So we've been praying for Edwin and Andrea, and Rian went there on Wednesday night and to their little fellowship that they do with the other couple. And which was actually so lovely, but that's another thing. Anyway, he went and he did what he knew the Lord had on his heart. And then we listened to the teaching that you guys put up on the website yesterday, Michael, and what you preached on for that last hour is exactly what Rian said on Wednesday night here in Rosebery, which is so cool. And then Edwin,
not exactly, I
mean, yeah, not as eloquent as you, yes. Michael.
Well, thank you for that.
But anyway, so then Edwin texted Rian this morning and said they've got some questions and they'd like to chat more about it. So Rian said, okay, well, if the other couple will have us back, then, you know, Rian will go again this Wednesday. So he said, no, I think it will just be Andrea and I alone. Can we come tomorrow? So they're coming tomorrow. And he said there's nothing more important to study. But he's never, yeah, so this is so exciting. I mean, the guy who never speaks is now speaking. So we're really excited. We might, not Rian, obviously, he speaks a whole bunch. But yeah, like, it's just so exciting. So I just thought, thank you for your prayers and thank you for your faith, because things are happening.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God is so cool. He is so graceful, gracious with us, merciful. He took the one. He got a hold of the one that was least expected, right? Okay, praise the Lord. Yeah, he got a hold of me. I was least expected too. All right. What do y'all want to talk about? What is this? It's Tuesday or Thursday? This is Thursday. What do y'all want to talk about next Tuesday? Anybody got a good subject or question that we can ponder on? When's the exam, Greg said. Yeah. It's up to wipe through. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I thought it was interesting. David made a statement once that you can be born again, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go to heaven.
All right, we can talk about salvation. How's that?
Because there's things that, because you got the 10 virgins. They all had the right information, but five are wise, five are foolish. What made the five foolish ones? I mean, they probably had some kind of born-again spirit. They had understanding. Mm-hmm. So, but they didn't make it.
With the sower too.
Yeah, so let's find out what it is that's keeping these people from getting into heaven. What is it that they miss out on? They had a born-again spirit. What happened?
Okay, let me ask Megan. Megan, did you have a subject?
Oh, can we talk about fasting?
Also? Fasting? Yes. Don't eat, girl. That's all I can tell you. Just don't eat. Okay, yeah, well, yeah, that'd be a good subject also. We can talk about fasting as well. Okay. There you have it. Lord, we just thank you for another good evening. We thank you for your leading and your guidance, Lord, in all things. Father, be with us over the weekend and the rest of the week and over the weekend. And we thank you, Lord, that mighty things are fixing to happen in your realm, Lord. And I thank you for that. I know the people in the bride, they're going to be so awesome. It's going to be so awesome, the things that are fixing to happen. The miracles. I can't even think of them all, but I can tell you, Lord, I know it's going to be awesome. We've had little bits and pieces of it. And when it all comes together, Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you, Father, for being our God. You're so good to us. And we thank you, Lord, for placing your Son on the cross to give us this avenue to you, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Be with us. Give us a good night's sleep. And let us all come back together either Saturday or Tuesday night and be in oneness of heart, in one accord. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bless you, you tired.
God bless everybody.
Be blessed.
Good night, everybody.